Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, baby, I love teaching about King Hezekiah. In fact, I've taught about him all over the world. But let's begin in Isaiah 38:1.
Isaiah 38, verse 1 says, "In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'"
Hezekiah was facing a crisis. He was mortally ill. He knew he was going to die. Then the prophet came to him and said, "Get your house in order, because you're going to die." What did Hezekiah do? Did he call his best friends? Did he call his relatives? Did he go to a movie to get his mind off his trouble? No. Look at verse 2.
In verse 2 it says, "Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord."
Hezekiah turned his back to the room, his face to the wall. He was turning away from anything that would distract him. Now, the scripture doesn't say that Hezekiah turned to the mall. It says he turned to the wall. What do we do when we receive bad news? Do we try to take our mind off of it? King Hezekiah turned his back on his circumstances. The scripture says that Hezekiah prayed to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hezekiah began to remind God that he'd served him all the days of his life. Reminded him how he'd pulled down all the pagan poles, threw out all the idol worshipers, and lifted the name of Jehovah God above all other gods.
In Isaiah 38:3, it says, "And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore."
Before the prophet Isaiah could get in his Mercedes S500 and drive out of the parking lot, a word of God came to him saying,
Isaiah 39, verses starting in verse 3, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life."
God answered Hezekiah's prayer and added 15 years to his life. We later learn that God also delivered the Assyrians into the hands of Hezekiah. When the enemy, please hear this, when the enemy attacks you, your health, your family, or your finances, don't go to the mall. Turn to the wall and begin to bring back to God's remembrance how you've served him all the days of your life. That's how you can be victorious over every attack of the enemy. As I mentioned earlier, I've told this message in 150 cities in this country, in Europe, around the world. However, as I was reading over this morning, the Lord showed me something powerful that occurred in the book of Isaiah that really holds, I think it holds a key, honey, to King Hezekiah getting a new lease on life.
But over in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 3, it says, "The king contributed from his own possessions for the morning and evening burnt offering, and for the burnt offerings on the Sabbath, new moons, and appointed feasts, as written in the law of the Lord."
Have you ever heard the old saying, "Do what I say, not what I do"? Such a statement is hypocritical at best, and certainly shouldn't be the tactic of any leader. Truth be told, no leader should ever expect his people to do what he's not willing or able to do himself. Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz, he was one bad dude. He didn't make God happy. But his son, King Hezekiah, was a different story. Within the first month of assuming the throne, Hezekiah restored worship in Israel. He took personal control of the priest. He also invited everybody through the lands of Judah and Israel to come to Jerusalem, celebrate the Passover. Hezekiah immediately demonstrated godly leadership. When a leader, whether he's the king or the head of a family, establishes the principle of tithing and giving, it becomes duplicatable throughout the family and the land. King Hezekiah set the standard of giving of his own possessions for the support of the Levites. The people saw a strong example of leadership, and they began to tithe as well.
In fact, they gave so much that in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 10, it says, "And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, 'Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store.'"
Here's a very basic but critical fact of life. When the leader sets the standard, the people respond. Not only do people respond, but their needs are met. And there's much left over.
The Message Bible translation of 2 Chronicles 31:10 says it this way: "The Lord has certainly blessed his people. Look at how much is left over."
In listening to today's call, no doubt the enemy's tried to tell you that this is a nice story and good teaching. But what does it have to do with you? The devil will do everything possible, everything he possibly can, to keep you, me, us, particularly you in this instance, to keep you from realizing you're a leader. You may never have thought of yourself as a leader, but truthfully, what you think in this instance doesn't matter. Because the question is, what does God think? How does God see you? What does God have planned for you? I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to get it deep down inside of you. In fact, if you get nothing from today's call, get this: you have much more influence in life than you know, and that makes you a leader. Let me say that again. You have much more influence in life than you know, and that makes you a leader. Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have friends? Do you have authority over anyone at work? Do you teach a class at church? Do you help in the church nursery? If you have authority over anyone at all, they're watching you. They're observing the standard you set in your everyday life. As a leader, you must set the right kind of example.
Proverbs 16:10. In the New Living Translation says, "A good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit."
As a leader, you get your directions and leadership style from the Word of God. Sadly, there are a lot of moms, single or married, that provide family leadership every day without fully realizing the impact they have upon their children and everyone who calls them friends. Hezekiah, through godly leadership, set a standard for the people to follow, and respond they did. I remember a quote that I read that just came back to my mind in this teaching. It's a profound quote by Marion Wright Edelman. She said, "If you as parents cut corners, your children will too. If you lie, they will too. If you spend all your money on yourselves and tithe no portion of it, your children won't either. And if parents snicker at racial and gender jokes, another generation will pass on the poison adults still have not had the courage to snuff out." That's a strong quote,
though. That is a good quote.
If you want your father's children otherwise to follow God, set the standard. If you want your followers, children, otherwise to be tithers, said the standard. If you want your followers, children, and otherwise, to be prayer warriors, said the standard. If you want your followers, children, and otherwise, to be readers, said the standard. If you want your followers, children, and otherwise, to be people of character and integrity, said the standard. If you want your followers, children, and otherwise, to be hard workers, said the standard. If you want your followers, children, and otherwise, to be givers, you must, said the standard. If those close to you see you stop tithing, stop giving, just because circumstances have changed and situations become more stressful, then they will emulate your leadership when they face a crisis. The leadership standard you set will in large measure determine the future success of those who follow you. And without question, your leadership will determine your own destiny, financial, otherwise. It's important to understand that you have more influence than you know.
People everywhere you go, whether it's a grocery store or when you're maybe even getting fuel, the people that you come in contact with, you are making a very possible impact on them. And it's important that the Lord God be glorified in everything that we do, that he show in one way or another by how we conduct our lives.
I think, honey, a lot of times I've had people say to me, you know, you need to pray for my employer. They won't let me hand out tracts at work. And my question is, was handing out tracts in your job description? Is that what you were hired to do? And they go, no, but I want to be a good witness. I say, you want to be a good witness? Live your life in such a way that all your coworkers will know and see and witness the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in your lives.
Without you even mentioning
without
a word
about
God.
Without you saying a word, you're right, baby. But they'll recognize the God in you.
Amen.
And when a crisis comes, they're going to come talk to you.
There you go.
Not because you gave them a track, but because you set a standard of godly leadership. Hallelujah. Think about it. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.